The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everyone, this is Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
I'm Jake Runyon.
And by our powers combined, we are the Canned Air Podcast. But right now, you're listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 166, the SummerSlam review episode. That's right, I'm going to be joined by DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand, and we're going to talk about SummerSlam. They were on a couple weeks ago to do the preview episode, in which we sat down, we talked about some of our thoughts and our opinions and our predictions of what might happen, and now we're going to revisit those and talk about what actually happened, and even talk a little bit about some of the storylines that are coming out of SummerSlam, storylines that they're running with on Raw and SmackDown Live. And so it's definitely going to be an opinionated and insightful episode, and probably a little bit rowdy and rambunctious because, well, when the three of us get together, that's what happens when we sit around and talk about professional wrestling. So we're going to get right down into it. It's a little bit of a longer episode, but before we do that real quick, I want to let everybody know that I'm very excited that this weekend I'm going out to Chicago to All In. That's right, I got my ticket, I got a hotel, I got a plane ticket. I'm very excited for it. I think it's going to be a fantastic weekend of professional wrestling. I am really looking forward to Okada versus Marty Scurll. I think that is going to be probably the most interesting match, and maybe, and just maybe, a show stealer on the entire card. I mean, the card's jacked from top to bottom, but I'm really looking forward to it. I'm heading out on Friday evening, coming back Sunday afternoon, so I'm looking forward to a great, great weekend of wrestling at All In, and I know there's going to be some other folks that are going to be out there. I'm looking forward to hanging out with them and talking with them as well. So it's going to be a great weekend. I'm very excited for it. So that's something I will be talking about on this podcast. So there you go. I'll be talking about my experience out there in the Windy City this weekend. So, all right, let's get right on into me letting you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. You can get over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, tablet, iPad, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVDcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their awesome service. Again, we've talked many, many times on this podcast about all the various different books, no matter if we're talking about Westerns to biographies to political thrillers to romance novels, whatever genre you're into, Audible has a book for you. So for right now, you want to get your hands on that free audiobook, all you got to do is go on over to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Once again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast, and you can get hooked up with a free 30-day trial. With that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, DJ Joey Blaze, Ringside Rand, and I dissect SummerSlam. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's already been a rowdy and rambunctious go of it off air. But I'm being joined by my comrades, DJ Joey Blaze.
Comrade, huh?
Yeah.
Atong!
That's, yeah. Yeah, we're all sitting here as comrade. We're just reading, you know, some Joseph Stalin entries, stuff like that. nothing different. Yeah.
And joined by, of course, Ringside Rand.
Hello, greetings from the Golden Ghetto.
There we go. So, gentlemen.
Yeah, that green room was rambunctious there before we did this.
Well, there's wildlife out in the courtyard.
There is, you know, lots of craziness going on.
But what I would like to say today on my behalf, I want to dedicate the show to the word roughshod.
Do you know what that means?
I don't know what roughshod means, but I tell ya. Oh my gosh, that was very entertaining. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, last week's podcast was very entertaining. John, first of all, didn't invite in us, which is probably a good idea. but got to sit down with some wrestling legends, and there were a show in Hilliard. And it's fun hearing the backstories about these guys, but One Man Gang was in full character. Man, I would have loved to have broke one off on him. That seemed like that was fun.
It was fun, and as I mentioned, it wasn't what I was anticipating doing. But I just kind of rolled with the punches because he was just going to do whatever. And he entertained everybody that was in that part of the building. Like, I'm not kidding. There were probably 15, 20 people that just huddled around the table because of what he was
doing. Everybody talked about how nice he was and how nice his wife was.
Yes, both wonderful people. They were both very, very nice.
I don't know what roughshod means. That is that should be a huge hashtag that should be trended. But no, hey, thank you for doing that. That was cool to hear. Some blasts from the past.
Yeah,
you
man.
Talk to him.
Honestly, it was a dream come true. You know, I marked out for Road Warrior Animal because as a kid, just the Road Warriors were the two baddest asses on the face of the earth, man. You know what I mean?
He still looks like he's a badass in
his age. Oh, yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
I wouldn't mess with him.
I wouldn't either.
So was that your favorite interview, would you say?
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah. I mean, just because, you know, of 8-year-old John was just like in awe of what was going on. But everybody was super nice. Everybody was very, very receptive.
Jared from Subway heard 8-year-old John and got excited. Oh. I just want to let you know.
I can't believe you just used that reference. I mean,
oh, man.
Seriously. That's
sometimes I'm a little over the top. My brain goes places.
You're pulling from
the backstock. We're going to have to call legal on that one.
Look, you can kind of bleep that out. So-and-so from so-and-so, can we say that? So I don't
want
to cause
any problems. Why do you want me to do more work for this? Come on now. Anyways.
We try to keep it simple. So Road Warrior Animal, though?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I did enjoy talking to all the gentlemen that appeared on the episode. Tito Santana, Cowboy Bob Orton. Tatanka was incredibly nice as well. And I really liked, I also liked his interview too, because I thought it was a little more, I want to say light in tone. You know, he seemed to just have that ability to kind of make it not seem so stressful. I mean, you know, just kind of put you at ease and just kind of shoot the shit, so to speak, about his career.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
All right. Well, we're here to talk about SummerSlam, which occurred the day after Wrestle Legends. All right. And talk a little bit about what we thought about the show. So let's maybe just start off with you two guys giving, what do you think overall of SummerSlam? Rand, what did you think overall?
Well, I'm sitting down with Bobo and Bird Boy, and we thought this was like the best card that we've seen in a long time. I mean, this was as good as any WrestleMania card. Part of it is they've gotten a lot longer than the 3-hour window from cable days.
True, that is true.
So on paper, we talked about it. The card looked great. Yeah, we're looking at it on paper right now. But watching that after the first few matches, I know I text you, John, during it. It slowly became the drizzle shits, in my opinion.
I think it was very inconsistent. I think there was some fantastic stuff, and then there was some awful stuff.
The pre-show was great. There were spots in the pre-show that was, I'm saying, great compared right to the actual show. That's why I say it like that.
Well, I'm only joking, just to interrupt. I'm only doing it because, yet again, I was so fucked up on the time. I don't know when it started. I missed the mixed tag match because I was so confused as to, does it start at 6 or is that the pre-show or is it starting at 7? I was so baffled again, and I looked it up online. I asked Siri, and Siri said 7 o'clock is when SummerSlam started, so I'm like, well, fine, then I'm going to turn it on at 6. That's the pre-show. No.
Is Siri who we check in with at the front desk here?
No. Siri on my iPhone.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, that's Cindy.
That's Cindy. Cindy, yes. Yeah. Correct.
That's spelled S-I-N-D-E-E. Cindy. Okay.
And there's an accent over one of the E's.
And she also doubles as a dancing girl in cage number 3. Okay, I got it now. All right.
She used to be one of the dancing girls in TNA for the first couple months.
That takes you way back.
And what did TNA stand for at that point?
Total Nonstop Action.
That's not enough. That's what it stood
That's
for.
That's not enough.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anywho.
So on paper, I totally agree with Ringside. Man, this card's going to be so great. I was so excited. I sat down, I had my bowl of popcorn. I was ready to go. But come match three or four, match five, I was like,
Is it just too long? Is there just too much? Or have we gotten used to the 3-hour cable day windows? That a 5-hour show? Because I started watching at 6.
I can sit down and watch it forever. It doesn't, if it can keep my attention. But I want quality.
Yeah, look, essentially there were 3 squash matches. Let's just talk about them. Yes. I mean, even though one maybe is not technically, but it was only 4 minutes. And there was, so to me, I think you have to really sit down and consider, is it necessary to even have those 3 matches if you're going to do squash matches? Why bother? Why bother? And then why even bother building them if you're going to do that?
Now, the squash match of Braun Strowman and Kevin Owens is now being used as an angle of Kevin Owens leaving the company.
Right, but at that particular point, that was not revealed to us, the viewers. So for us as viewers and fans, we're sitting here going, what the hell? This is the guy that, you know, is the monster in the bank, the money in the bank contract holder. He destroys Kevin Owens, who has, throughout his history in the company, has been a viable contender for any title that he wanted to go after.
And we thought before the show that if he won somehow fluky or whatever against Braun Strowman,
right,
he could be one of the 4 people leaving the show as the Monday Night Champ.
Yeah, as the Universal Champ, and I don't know.
Well, here's what I hate, and I probably put money in the jar.
Oh, I'm all right.
Oh, the wrestling logic jar has now become a vacation fund.
Because he's been there, he's done that, he's had the Universal Champion, he's had these championship straps, he's done so well, and all of a sudden he does this, but then he'll do well against Roman Reigns, but, you know, Braun doesn't squash Reigns. So it's just like, the logic, we're smarter now. We want, that's why it doesn't make sense. At least let him get in some offense. Like maybe a super kick and a frog splash. Some kind of high impact Kevin Owens type of stuff, cannonball. But he still, you could have taken it 3 more minutes and had the same effect, in my opinion.
Right. You know, I think if we're, again, the next squash was the Demon, Finn Balor versus Baron Corbin. I don't think that went more than, 2.5 minutes or so?
But that needed to happen. And then they needed to end, but what they needed to do is they need to end that right there.
Yeah, oh, I agree. There's no reason for this.
That should not have been carried over. It should not have been, now I'm the man, I'm in charge, so there's no DQ, like, carried over to the Raw. Like, it's so ridiculous. That should have ended that feud, and Finn Balor should be doing something way better.
Yes, I agree.
And why, but then I'm thinking, why waste the Demon on Constable Corbin?
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
There were times they could have used the Demon. It would have made more sense.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
So, I don't know. I was not... That match was another... That was an upsetting match to me.
Vince has a history of liking big guys.
Yeah.
Whether it's Baracus or Mason Reese. Not all
Jesus
of them work.
Christ, Baracus.
Yes. Yes. I got the shovel out and found these guys.
Mason Ryan is in Vegas as well. He's doing Cirque du Soleil. I actually saw him eating breakfast one morning. I was out there last time. True story. Sorry.
He's got to be one of the pyramids for their weird little thing. Because
that dude is freaking massive.
Freaking massive, man. Yeah, but okay.
Breakfast. Oh, man.
Oh, man. All right. So, I mean, overall, I guess we could say you two are saying that you felt that SummerSlam was awful. It was drizzling shits, as you said.
It went to the drizzling shits.
Okay.
It started out pretty good. Like, that, the curtain jerker was amazing.
All right, so let's go ahead here, and we're going to run down the matches and maybe give our thoughts on them. In fact, dare I say, let's rate it, all right, out of 10, in honor of my beloved home of Providence, Rhode Island, and being, of course, Rhode Island's home to one of the fine shellfish known as quahogs. How about we rate them out of quahogs? Why are you laughing, DJ Joe?
I have no idea what just happened, but okay.
So
let's rate him out of...
You can give him a 2 out of 10 quahogs.
Does this have something to do with catering? Because I'm not feeling real well.
Are you allergic to shellfish?
You look like you're breaking out a little bit.
No.
All right. I did not see Vega and Almas take on Rusev and Lana, so I'll let you two discuss how good it was, how bad it was, et cetera, et cetera. But I didn't see this match.
Nothing special.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything special. I just hate how they're using Rusev after he just was in a main event.
Right.
I just covered that on the last one we were
right.
on.
Right.
And I just, there goes the logic. There goes more money in the jar. Like, it just
vacation
it
money.
Sense.
Yeah, so like I said, I didn't see it, so I can't give. But the victors were Zelina Vega and Cien Almas did pick up the victory to kind of keep. I feel like they're trying to push Almas into that mid card slot of being a contender for mid card titles and whatnot.
I think it'll work. Yeah, I think it definitely will work. I think U.S. Strap is definitely on the radar for him.
All right, now on to the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. Cedric Alexander, takes on Drew Gulak. I gave this 7 out of 10. I thought this actually was really good. And you were down on Gulak. And I will say this. The fact that, indeed, I'm not a fan of Gulak, he actually did impress me with some really good offense. I thought that they told a very simple story. I mean, Alexander took some crazy bumps. But overall, it got a little sloppy towards the end, but I liked it overall.
I think you might owe Funaki some royalties by using the word indeed, by the way, right there. No, I liked it. I it made sense. Gulak in that spot, maybe not so much, but I definitely enjoyed that. I would agree with 6 or 7. What do you say? Quahogs?
Quahogs.
Quahogs?
Yes.
Queefogs? What? Quahogs, okay.
Legal. We're going to get the legal team in here.
All right. Rand, what did you think of the Alexander Gulak match?
I thought it was above average. I gave it an 8.
An 8. All right. So an 8 and a 7. And a 7, you said, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Passing grade there. Passing grade.
I agree with that.
All right. Moving on to the WWE Raw Tag Team Championship match. The B Team taking on the Revival. This match was okay. I gave it a 6 out of 10. I didn't like the finish. I didn't like the silly trip into the pinfall. I thought that was just really...
I think that's their character, winning when they shouldn't.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
You know, that is their character, and I think it's too forced. Like, I think it's okay, but here's the thing. You got two third-generation guys winning by somebody tripping.
Right.
That annoys me. And that annoys me, and I like that they're pushing this push to the Revival, and hopefully they put the tag straps on the Revival and... They bring kind of what, Dolph and Seth and Miz brought back to the IC title. Bring back some prestige to some... Because it's just... We need these tag teams to have tag straps. We don't need two singles guys that just got thrown together.
Right.
And it kind of told the story because it's building because they're going to have another match at Hell in a Cell.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's when they'll end up getting the straps. But yeah, it was an average match. But yeah, I'm definitely not with the whole forced... Like I call it the Urkel ending. Can I do that? You know, or
yeah.
I don't know. That's pretty poor impersonation, but I don't know. I'm 5 or 6. Like, I mean, it was okay.
It was. And again, if we're talking about trimming down the card, this is one of those matches I would have had on Raw rather than have on a pay per view. If we're talking about trimming this down from the giant event that it's become,
indeed. Funaki, number one.
I believe, if my notes are correct, the next match would be the Intercontinental Championship match between Dolph Ziggler and Seth Rollins. Which this I gave 10 out of 10. This was fantastic.
It was a great match. I texted you during it and after it, and I was with it 98% of the match till they gave it back to Seth. Why does Seth have to have it?
It
just doesn't make sense to me. Like, I'm questioning the logic again, but it just doesn't. In my mind, when I'm trying to figure out what they can do with it, unless they're trying to get it from Dolph to Seth over to Drew, which kind of looks like they might be trying to switch some stuff up now with these 3-on-3 that they got going on. But I don't know. The match was awesome, though. Agree if we're going. 10 Bo Dallas's or whatever you call it. Quahogs. 10 out of 10. Yeah, okay. That was a great way to kick off the show.
That was a great way.
You know, this was in Brooklyn. Maybe we should be giving it on scale of Sweat Hogs.
Oh. What do you give it?
I gave it a 9. You got 4 great guys there.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see, and this probably will last a couple of weeks. different people matching up. I could see the four of them in a Hell in a Cell match.
I don't know if they do that, but I could see some like a Four Corners match.
Yeah. Or,
Just kind of shake it up a little bit.
What did ECW call them? All four guys are in tornado match?
No, that was just their typical four-way dance or three-way dance. Okay. Yeah, they were more partial to the three-way dance, I believe. But Ring of Honor calls them scramble matches, you know.
I'm a big fan of three-ways, so yeah.
A commercial for Skyline Chili. We'll have to talk to legal.
I put down just this side note. I enjoyed that Seth Rollins is wearing two different colored boots, a la Rick Steiner.
Well, you saw what the whole theme was.
Well, it was very much a Thanos
type of theme. Because it had the Infinity Stones on it.
But I kind of popped for that. Rand, help me out. Is the next match our SmackDown Women's Championship match?
I didn't have them in order.
Oh, okay, you didn't have them in order. That's according to my note, but I put a question mark by it, so I'm not sure. But let's go with that one. How about that?
Our research team is A1 here at the PVD cast. Like, you have put together just the ultimate team, I must say.
Well, Joey, let's take a look at your notes.
I'm trying to look at them. Where are they at? Research! Oh, my goodness. The match was pretty cool.
I gave it a 9 out of 10. Yeah, it was surprisingly good.
They really told a great story.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have... I mean, I would have booked it maybe a little bit different. But yeah.
Well...
But no, I think I was happy. I think it to me, it was way better than the Raw one. But
oh, yeah. We'll talk about that in a minute. Here's a couple of things that I pointed out real quick that I liked. You know what? And sadly, as I wrote this down, then Carmella came out and she was not wearing one. But... I like that, like, Becky Lynch, and for a while, Carmella went back to the one piece.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't, that hasn't been around for a while, a long, long while, since the times of Moolah and Mae Young, and so.
Well, you know why Becky Lynch switched it up, didn't you?
No, go right ahead and tell me.
She had, we'll just leave it at this.
A wardrobe malfunction?
South of the border.
Oh, okay.
Ooh,
so
Ecuador.
She changed up, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she had the Ecuadorian slip.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's why she changed
it. We just created a new hashtag, Ecuadorian slip. Let's get that trending on Twitter worldwide.
I think it finally made Becky Lynch interesting.
Yeah, it did. The heel turn did. Yeah,
she's always been a great hand. Yeah, but to see her as a heel. But see, this is that's. No, I'm sorry, I'm going off. That's how I wanted. That's what I wanted to see Bayley do to Sasha. It never happened.
Right.
I wanted to see what they're doing now with Becky. I really wanted them to do with Bayley because they could have done a lot with her as a heel. But. I like it. I think Becky's great. I think they should pair her more maybe with the Bar. I think that would be kind of cool because, you know, you know, I think that would kind of fit together. So eventually she does whatever she does there and then she starts maybe palling around with them because they're starting to see some more of these gangs start to formulate in some different ways. I mean,
you know, and I think Sarah Logan.
Naomi was talking about a bodyguard. So you're starting to see.
Yeah, and I think Sarah Logan ought to go down to NXT and be with War Raiders because it just makes sense. They're, you know, they should do that. Rand, you were going to say?
Yeah, I was, and somehow.
You got distracted by the albino squirrel.
The albino squirrel,
out in the courtyard. Okay. Well, overall, I thought it was a good match.
And there you have it, folks.
You don't get inside like that for just
anyone.
You're getting your money's worth, people.
Is Charlotte looking bustier to you all?
Well, yeah, she was out because of that, because she had the corrective surgery.
Okay, all right.
She went to the McMahon Clinic.
They were literally lopsided.
Okay.
Research should put... Can you get over here on our monitors the picture that I'm talking about, Research, please? These producers...
I'm sorry. Herman is a man that is inept.
He looks like a Herman. He looks like... Yeah,
with bolts in his neck aren't a good sign.
So overall, what did you think, Rand? What grade would you give?
I thought it was really good. I think if Carmella has reason to complain now,
sure.
She didn't actually lose the title.
True.
I think that continues her whining less than pleasant ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's less than pleasant, but she has a great character.
Yes, she does.
And I know we covered this on here before, like. She's the most unlikely out of the three with Enzo and Kaz. And she turns out, even when she don't need the thing, I think they realize she doesn't need the strap to get over.
No.
And she'll put it on her again.
This is the best she's ever been.
Yeah, I still think that she could be better in the ring, well, sure, technically. But yeah, yeah, I mean, that character is rock solid right now.
But you think, I mean, Alexa Bliss is decent in the ring, but it's all about her mouthpiece.
Right, exactly.
Even though she doesn't know how to use the words, as we heard on Raw. But
well, let's move on to the WWE United States Championship with Nakamura taking on, of course, Jeff Hardy.
I got to go with WTF, and that does not mean Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I think you've got Shinsuke Nakamura, who should be doing so much more.
Well, I, you know what? I didn't think this match was bad. I gave it a seven out of 10. I didn't think it was terrible. I think maybe it got that 7 out of 10 because of the swanton on the apron. That looked like a hellacious move to do. I agree, Rand, I'm bored with Nakamura right now.
I gave it some points now because what did Orton do?
Yeah,
I mean, right. There's more questions coming out of this than answers.
Yeah. They could have done more with that. There's a couple different way things they could have done. Like, I thought it'd been cool if he had interfered early and they made it a three-way, which we all know I'm a fan of three-ways.
Right.
Skyline Chili.
But, yeah, it was average. And to me, that's a SmackDown main event at most.
Yeah, same here.
Because it could have been a lot more, though. That's the thing. Like, that was, to me, that could have been a dream matchup.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was wasted mid-card on
pay-per-view. And then, here, we'll diverge a little bit off topic. Then the following SmackDown, you have Randy Orton against Jeff Hardy, and they have the big giant, you know, like, hook my ear, I'll kick you in the balls and throw you through the table and all that. So what was the point then of Randy Orton even coming out?
Yeah.
In SummerSlam, it makes no sense. The logic, again, to use the L word, the logic is not there.
At all.
Yeah.
How cringeworthy was that ear pull?
You know what? I got to be honest. It was cringeworthy. I didn't really pay that close attention to that match when originally it went down. So I got to be honest, Rand, I didn't see it. In the replays that they show, yeah, it looks pretty rough.
Yeah, it definitely got the speed and whatever steam was supposed to get. But yeah, they went back to the match.
Yeah. Average.
Gave it a six.
WWE SmackDown Tag Team titles on the line. The Bludgeon Brothers versus The New Day. I thought this was not very good. I gave it a 4 out of 10. I thought it was really sloppy. Really sloppy. And I'm surprised somebody didn't get hurt.
They did.
Yes. Well, you're saying hurt the other way, not the injury that...
Yeah, is Rowan's injury?
Do we have any idea when it happened in the match?
It was a shoulder injury, I thought.
Right.
Okay.
I don't know. It just didn't mesh well. And like I spoke about when we originally sat down and talked about it, I guess they had to pass the titles on to them because of the injury, but it just didn't make sense. I think Insanity in that role, Sanity in that role would have been a better fit for that because they always beat the crap out of them, and it just didn't.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly.
It's very disappointing, especially when you have guys on the apron like Luke Harper, who's an excellent worker, Kofi, you have all these guys that could be involved and could do different things. It ended up being a train wreck.
Right, exactly. And I also, speaking of train wreck, it was very, it's a train wreck of me to use the wrong words there. Somebody did get hurt. I don't know what they're going to do with the New Day now that they have the belts because they won them the following week on SmackDown. Who's a possible contender for them?
Well, they were teasing the whole... They're going to have a singles. They're going to do a singles run. Have somebody do a singles run, and then all of a sudden, now they have back the tag straps. So next week, it's a three-way with Sanity. But I think it's going to be Sanity versus the Bar, and I think Sanity's going to be back up there.
Okay.
And take it on the New Day, and like maybe they can go like we're talking with the Freebird rule. Like it'd be cool for that feud to kind of be like that. Maybe the tag titles do defend it as a six man or something like that.
Actually, that was a rematch from the Bludgeon Brothers in the, not a rematch, but participation at Fastlane here in Columbus.
Oh, yeah.
And if you look at the pictures I took, I thought when they dropped him on the steps.
Who did they drop on the steps? I don't remember. Xavier.
I thought when they dropped him on the steps, he was seriously injured. That was in front of me on that corner. They came out to check on him for like 10 minutes while the rest of the match was going on. if you go back to that pay-per-view, it was like one of the worst bumps I've ever seen.
Well, yeah, I don't know. They totally just beat the crap out of those guys. That's why it just doesn't, this whole new feud didn't make sense. And then Rowan gets hurt, and then now they got the straps back on New Day. So yeah, I think we spent a lot of time on this 4 out of 10 wow crap match.
All right. Well, let's clean up a few other of the crap matches too. I gave Braun Strowman versus Kevin Owens, I gave it a 4 out of 10. Just basically because of the sick choke slam on the ramp. That's the only thing that got the 4 points, because that match was awful.
Right.
So, and pointless.
We didn't realize it at the time, but it's setting up the Kevin Owens disappointment, wanting to leave storyline.
Yeah, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that, but yeah, just not a big, big fan of that. And of course, I gave it 3 out of 10 for Finn Balor's victory over Baron Corbin, which, again,
Finn Balor spent more time painting up.
Yeah, I thought that too. I was like, how much time did he spend?
And it was a very cool paint job.
It was.
But that's a shame. That's what we're leaving the match
wasted
from.
Wasted it on Baron Corbin.
Yeah, that's for a title match. That's for
Mania. You
know, yeah.
Yeah. Now, a match that I thought was fantastic, The Miz versus Daniel Bryan.
Oh, great match.
Yeah, it was great. I give it a 9 out of 10.
One of the best storyline buildups.
Oh, yeah.
The video packages were incredible.
Mm-hmm.
There's still speculation on who is staying and who's leaving the company.
Yeah, yeah.
And somehow I got a feeling, I don't want to see it, but I got a feeling the girls are going to get involved.
Well, they are.
They are. But I'll tell you what, that I popped for the most was using Maurice to slip the object to him. That was fantastic.
Very old school.
Very old school. Yes.
Ric Flair got royalties for that, by the way.
Oh, man. I thought that was awesome.
Pulling it out of her jacket ever so. Yeah, that was very cool.
Oh, it was great. I loved it. So overall, I think that was the second best match of the night.
See, and they worked well because you have Daniel Bryan was entering Ackerman, and as awesome as he is, a technical wrestler, and Miz, he's underrated, but he's great on the mic, and he's a historian. He knows his stuff, and he knows, you know, he was a huge fan coming into this. So I'm sure when you put those two together, that idea tree just grew amazingly. Mm-hmm. And I would really like to know, like, how that match was kind of put together with the different spots that they used and whatnot.
All right, we'll talk about the women's title on Raw. Alexis Bliss taking on Ronda Rousey, who apparently thought that she was in Mad Max Fury Road from her makeup job. So
that, yes, like she was getting ready to hang out with Nux or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
But here's the thing. What I was so annoying is they've already showed how Alexa's double jointed. She's able to do that with her arm. They did that on Raw. And like, oh my God, they made a big deal about her SmackDown. One of them, like a year ago, now all of a sudden she's able to do that and make it look like she's trying to break her arm. Like, back to the logic. Like, you've already used that gimmick. It's not get that doesn't get over. I don't know. I just thought it was just really dumb. But on the same token, too, it gets Ronda over as the badass that she's supposed to be. But she turns around and comes out on Raw smiling again.
Yeah,
she needs a smile.
She needs
to pull a Shawn Michaels and lose that smile.
Yeah,
right now
she's been a lot better than I thought she was going to be.
See, I'm going to disagree. I still think like that fallaway slam she does scares the shit out of me.
She just grabs people.
Right. I'm really concerned for her opponents. The way she grabs them and then just torques with reckless abandon and it bothers me.
Dare you say roughshod?
I don't know what that means. we're like Sesame Street today. Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by the number 9.
Or Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Yeah. Today's secret word is roughshod.
I don't know. Ronda is, to me, I think that they rushed things with her. Again, I would have taken a more old school approach to building her up, but the cat's out of the bag now. You know what I mean?
I could take advantage of how they built Shamrock. They built Shamrock with vignettes and this, that, and the other, and then he should be in the Hall of Fame. He's not because of whatever he's got going on. He has. But that's a Hall of Fame career in a very short amount of time for Ken Shamrock, in my opinion. Then they could have done the same thing with her. I mean, they're calling her the baddest girl on the planet. Woman on the best woman on the planet. He was the baddest man.
Yeah.
Do you think they spent so much money on her they didn't have the time that they wanted to get their money's worth quicker? I mean, it's not a short deal. It's a pretty good 3 years.
It's like 3 years, yeah.
Yeah.
But you take 2 months of building it up. Like, you could have done some different things. I don't know. And then she doesn't. And then just to not have matches, then be in a title match.
Yeah, that's my whole thing. Is I would have done a small build. You know, wherever Raw is at night, you contact local promoter. Let's get a girl up here. She destroys that girl. And you do that for several months. You build her. Yes, it's a squash match on Raw, but for God's sake, we don't have too many of those anymore.
Well, they did that with Nia and Bayley.
Well, right. While, yeah, yeah. Remember, right.
So this makes more sense. Put her in there. Do the whole handicap thing. Put two women in there.
Yeah,
her.
Right. Exactly. And let her do her thing. But again, as I said, they push things along faster than probably they should have.
Maybe it's because of the pay-per-view coming up, too. They want to make sure she has a prime spot on the Evolution
right.
pay-per-view.
Sure.
Which I don't think they talk about enough. Sarcasm.
Yeah. Anyway. Now, if I'm not mistaken, if I looked at the schedule, the only other pay-per-view for October is that silly one in Australia, right? There's no other pay-per-view.
Super Showdown.
Super Showdown Down Under.
One last time.
Which, who gives a shit?
Paul versus Mark, one last time.
Who in Australia is going, I'm clamoring for this match? Seriously.
Outback Jack. He's been wanting it this whole time.
Yes,
he
has.
Finally going to give it to him.
There you go.
Is he alive or dead?
I think he's alive. I'll look that up real quick. But I think
research!
I got it. Herman, just go back and drink some more coffee.
I don't think it's coffee, though, to be honest with
well,
you.
Well, hey, who am I to judge?
No, I just, you know, we go on forever with Rhonda and then you're talking about the pay-per-view too, and I think it's the only thing going on, but I just, yeah, this whole build, but they hype that pay-per-view, so it's, you know, it's gotta be.
Outback Jack is still alive. He's 60 years old. He's still alive.
He looked 60 years old when he wrestled.
Worst LJN figure ever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, when it's money, though, isn't it?
I think it is, but hey, let me just tell you, when 8-year-old John, again,
yeah.
was out playing with the LJNs, there was one jobber, and that was Outback Jack. In my WWF, SD Jones had more wins than Outback Jack.
Wow.
So there you
have it. That's strong.
All right, let's talk about the WWE Championship. AJ Styles taking on Samoa Joe. What do you guys think about this match?
I liked the match, didn't like the ending.
Yes, I agree.
I think they were originally going to put the title on Joe, but they had to switch it up last minute. I think he takes the title at Hell in a Cell.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the feud. I love Joe's promos. Joe's promos are awesome, in my opinion. The whole daddy's home and this, that, and the other. Like, to me, like, he's a great asshole.
Mm-hmm.
But here's, and I got a whole idea of the storyline. Something's going to happen. Joe wins it. AJ's going to take some time off.
Okay.
Joe wins it. And I think Cena's going to... We're finally going to see Cena Joe that we've never seen, that we wanted. That's, you know, a lot of people are going to see him, but they both came up together. So that's a great... And then that might carry on, and then AJ Styles will come back and be back in the picture.
And hopefully with a haircut.
You don't like the tribute to the hot commodity Matt Mason? I mean, that's... Matt had the soccer mom haircut. Why not, right? But... Yeah, maybe he does get a haircut, but no, I like the match. Go back to the match.
To my broadcast colleague, Hot Commodity Matt Mason, I do not ever did I ever think you had soccer mom hair.
It was pretty close, I gotta say.
That's you
were a minivan away from.
Okay. Anywho, I like the match too. I think there was a little bit of uneven flow to it. I hated the ending. I thought the finish was really bad. But I agree. I do like Samoa Joe's promos. They are fantastic. I mean, just the to me, it's got such a, like, it's got like a Cape Fear feel to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No,
like he's very creepy, but yet violent in the same way. Go ahead.
One thing that we liked about the Miz Daniel Bryan is we can see the history through all these different videos. It's a shame that they can't get video from all the different places that AJ and Joe have wrestled before.
True.
That would be great to see.
No, that makes sense. Yeah.
10 years of history between the two.
Well, I'm surprised because they've had that working relationship getting the TNA with the Global Force videos. So
yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, that's a great point. That'd have been great to use as a build-up too, but I don't think they need it because it's already...
I think a lot of people know it's there, even though they haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I think one thing we overlooked real quick, and just to finish off AJ and Samoa Joe, I gave it a 6 out of 10.
I do it down to 7 out of 10.
Okay.
I liked it. It was my favorite match of the night.
Oh, all
right. Even with the ending.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the ending left it open for more.
True. Okay.
True, true. I totally forgot about Elias. Elias was on the show, but broke his guitar.
Which dude, he has been so great. His segment with Trish on Raw.
I missed that. I got to be honest, I missed
their
that.
Their back and forth, the but things they said back and forth.
I heard.
He called her a 60-year-old, and oh, man, it was... Elias is... They say Mel is money. Elias is money.
Yes, yes.
Gosh darn, dude. He's so good.
He's so good.
He is.
Unfortunately, he might be such a great character that he might not need a title.
And that's fine, man. That's fine. I
think he deserves...
Again, I'm going to get on the bandwagon. I'm getting on the bandwagon. I got on it a while ago.
But you're still like towards the back of it.
I'm
still driving it.
Okay.
It is a short bus.
Which is, not a surprise with this crew.
All right, now main event time, WWE Universal Championship. It's Reigns versus Brock. We get that Braun is going to cash in the briefcase.
Face to face.
But yet he doesn't, per se.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, look, you know what? At first, I hated this. I gave it a 6 out of 10. But then I'm going to give credit where credit is due. I listened to Meltzer's podcast real quick.
Did he dog any women in the WWE?
Not on this episode that I'm aware of. He actually points out that this was the best way that they could have done this match. Because you get Strowman out there. Everybody wants Strowman to cash in.
Yes.
He says he's going to cash in. Yes. He keeps the heat off of Reigns and Lesnar. So they're not going to boo them because they're going to get what they want. And then all of a sudden they don't get what they want. Which by that time it's too late to start booing. So
that makes total sense.
That does make total sense. I didn't think of it that night. I was like, God damn it, what the hell? But it makes perfect sense. Meltzer's a genius.
I think that's taken a little bit farther.
Okay, never mind. He's pretty smart. He's got something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I've never really looked at it like that either. But still, I was still 5 or 6 out of 10. I don't like it. I don't like the face-to-face thing. Come in and just be Braun Strowman. You're a monster. Monster don't face people face-to-face.
No.
They attack. They attack.
Monsters do whatever they want, whenever they want.
Exactly.
Don't be a gentleman.
Boom.
Boom. There you go.
You heard it right there from Boog Powell Jr. over here.
So, with that overall...
I just say that, fans, because he's got an Orioles jersey on.
That's loyalty.
Yeah, true.
That is. It's also ironic that I wore number 26.
Did you?
Yes, I did. And that number would not have been available. Number's retired. I couldn't have used it.
Oh.
It was too retired, I'm not.
The Orioles retired 26.
Oh, that is Boog Powell?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You are even smarter than you realize. Research is coming through telepathically and sending you this information.
Yeah. All right, do we want to tackle a little bit of NXT real quick?
Let's
about 20 minutes. Rand, did you catch NXT TakeOver?
I got one final note to
the Roman
Reigns of Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Braun handed the belt, the Money in the Bank case, to Corbin. Corbin's being a constable prick. What's the chances Corbin goes, oh, no, he gave it to me. He wants me to have the Money in the Bank case.
When did that happen? That happened
Monday Night Raw.
Oh, yeah. That happened this Raw. Monday? Okay. All right.
What's the chances of Corbin goes, oh, no, this is mine?
Well, it's a good possibility. It's a good possibility at all that would happen. I don't know. I think some of the storylines that they've done in SmackDown and Raw, I think I like some of the directions where some of these are going. You know, I don't know about a few of them. I'm just wondering. It seems that Naomi and the Iconics are feuding on SmackDown, but how much longevity does that have?
Well, it depends on who they bring in to be with Naomi.
Right, exactly.
It'd be cool if they brought back her old Funkadactyl tag team partner.
I don't know if that would happen, but that would be cool. But
it's not going to happen.
No.
Is there anybody in NXT who has legitimate heat with the Iconics?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Who's likely?
Well, they're saying maybe, but I don't see her stepping up to the plate, but Bianca Belair.
I'm not a fan. I'm sorry.
I was not a fan. They put her over on Deonna Purrazzo the other day, and I didn't like that either.
But anywho, I think that one is one that is curious. Again, I'm still very baffled what they're doing with Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton. Where does Nakamura fit in there? Does he fit in there anymore? That one's confusing. I do like what they're doing with the Miz and Daniel Bryan continuing that feud. I don't mind them involving the ladies. I think that's a great... I want to see that. I'm interested in that. I want to see
Maurice in ring gear, yeah.
Yeah, well, sure. We'll go with that. But
I'm disappointed they're bringing the Bellas back.
Well...
To me, that women's division took off when they left and actual wrestlers came up.
True. Got a point there.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. And we're gonna get to see them live this Monday night.
Where's that, Joe?
Of Schottenstein, the Value City Arena for Monday Night Raw.
There you go.
With the return of Shawn Michaels.
I know. I saw.
I'll mark out for that.
All right. Let's talk about NXT Brooklyn 4. You know what? I just gotta give props. I think the NXT announced team is fantastic. I think it's the best announced team that they have. It's Nigel, and even Percy Watson is not bad, even though I'm not a fan of the three-man booth. I'm not a fan of it.
Morrow's just awesome.
He is.
And it's a shame that he's no longer on SmackDown. That's a whole other story.
Strong and O'Reilly defeat Mustache Mountain. I gotta be honest, I was not a fan of this match. I really wasn't. Yeah, I like Mustache Mountain, but I just thought this match was too sloppy. I know I'm gonna get called old, but when you do the burning hammer, you know, combination that they do, and then you kick out, I'm like, no, I'm sorry. That should have been.
It's the time of big spots, man.
I know, but I'm just not a fan of that. I'm like, what? The dude almost got dropped on his head. That should not be a kick out. I'm sorry, but that's just. Me, I guess.
I had the doctor called a burning hammer, and I had to take penicillin for it.
So I was not a fan. You were a fan of that match?
I liked it. I enjoyed it. Right. It was, to me, there was a lot of classic old school tag team stuff, even though that was going on, element to it, which we don't get to see on the main roster hardly.
Is there ever a time that you think a sloppy match is good?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, look, I've looked back and watched it, just finished watching that Bruiser Brody DVD, and there was a lot of sloppy shit that Brody and Abdullah the Butcher did, but it was good because, you know,
furthered their story.
Furthered their story, and they were actually beating the shit out of each other.
Speaking of beating the shit out of each other, then when the War Raiders came down.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I really liked that spot. I'm glad they're finally, like, they elevated. Like, they haven't been there that long, and they're finally elevating right there. And
exactly.
They'll take those titles soon.
I think
you know they'll have to kind of keep them together, but kind of split them up as singles runs, like especially Roddy.
Yeah, and I like Mustache Mountain, but I think they're going back over across the pond for that UK division. They're not going to be here.
That was very limited.
Yeah, very very limited. Though I wonder how much gas in the tank Trent Seven has. You know, because he's been around a while.
Are
they going to keep him even over there in the UK? But, hey, man, Velveteen Dream versus EC3. Huh. Man, oh, man. call me up, Vince, on the back of your trunks.
Right. Well, first of all, I like the tribute to Biggie Smalls, too. Yeah. The story's B.I.G. in his tights and having Call Me Up Vince on it.
Yeah.
And then the match was really good.
Yeah, I thought it was a good match. I really did. Man, that DVD on the apron followed up by that elbow, that combination was fantastic. You know, reports were that EC3 kind of maybe got his bell rung, and maybe that's why it kind of got a little bit uneven towards the end. But I thought overall it was really entertaining.
Yeah, you had two guys in there that can both not only go in the ring, that are great mouthpieces too. So
yeah.
it was bound to be good. And they're still continuing that storyline too, it looks like a little bit.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. The match of the night, Ricochet against Adam Cole.
Oh,
fantastic. Gosh. And look.
Now, Ricochet against who?
Adam Cole, baby.
Yeah.
Look, I know I just trashed the tag match for having no psychology in that. This is what I like to see. I like to see the psychology, because that first opening half of that match, a lot of great psychology, told a great story. And then towards the end, we're starting to throw in those high spots and those big spots and that. That I can get behind, and that to me was fine, you know. new champ, North American champ now is Ricochet, which, you know, that dude's wicked talented and deserves
it. He's amazing.
Yeah. You know, so, and I'm sure there's going to be more for Adam Cole to do down the road in WWE Universe.
Yeah, if not NXT, get a call up at some point.
Yep.
Is there a chance in 3 to 5 years we're going to see those two up and use this footage like we did some of these other matches?
I think you'll probably start seeing some more of that, when they build these feuds in the at NXT.
That this one could last longer.
Well, they did that with Sammy and Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
With everything. So, yeah, that's another great thing with NXT.
You know what? And I honestly would not... I'm going to throw this out there. I would not be surprised if we start seeing more developmental territories pop up again. I mean, because obviously you have the UK thing that they're going to be doing NXT UK and they have NXT. I would not be surprised if they would go to the West Coast and have a West Coast NXT. You know, I don't know what you would call
like
it.
Like the West Coast Avengers.
Yeah, like the West Coast Avengers. nice. I wouldn't be surprised to see that, you know, as a possibility. You know what I mean?
Maybe WWE Japan.
I have thought about that, but I'll say this. I think the only thing that stops that is, let's be honest, we know that there are sometimes some shady individuals that are involved in Japanese wrestling.
You're talking about the Yakuza?
I am talking about the Yakuza. So I don't know if Vince would fit in real well with that crowd. I mean, I don't know. So
why not go south of the border? Is there any chance for luchadors?
You know what? And again, I think with that one too, with CMLL and EMLL already down there.
Underground?
And what they're talking about, some of these guys that they're talking about signing here soon, like Pentagon, a few of these other guys, and bringing Ray back, like that could have some sort of...
I think Mexico's also a tricky establishment because you have such a stronghold.
That's why the West Coast makes a great...
Right. West Coast, there's nothing out there. I mean, you know, besides the various independents that are running there, but that would make the most logical sense, I would think. What was actually a really good match, and I can't believe I'm saying it, the women's title match for the NXT title.
That was very surprising.
I am not a fan of Kairi Sane. I find her character confusing. I don't think she does a very good job with offense. Her selling is okay, but she did a heck of a job, and Shayna Baszler and her put on one hell of a match.
And now, they're saying that Shayna's going to fight for it again, but is this she's slowly getting her build to get called up to be?
I think so.
Because they signed the other two also, and they're talking about horsewomen against horsewomen.
Right, so. Which, as a side note, is one of those Roddy's wife? Roderick Strong's wife? I thought one of the four, not Jasmine Duke, but the other one.
I'm not sure.
Okay, because he's married to an MMA lady, a female MMA competitor, and I thought that was, but maybe not.
Research!
Yeah, their time in the bedroom is probably crazy.
Okay, anywho, on that one.
Research or those two wrestlers?
Both.
By the way, I thoroughly enjoyed the sign, and I don't know what match it was in. I think it was in the main event, where somebody had the sign that said, "No flipping, just fisting," making fun of the Revival. I thought that was hilarious. All right, here we go. We're going to go to the main event, which I'm going to take a lot of heat for this. I was not a fan of the main event.
Why not?
Number one, it went way too long. Should have gone as long as it went. I was not a big fan of the end, of the finish. And I know that we're in the 2018 era of professional wrestling, but damn it, if you're going to have an anything goes match and you're not going to have some blood, if someone's not going to gig, it just doesn't for me. It's removing a crucial part for me to get invested in.
Yeah, I totally agree that the lacking blood definitely, but those guys left a lot out there, man. I thought it was.
I didn't. I just felt like I said, too long. It should have shortened it down by 10 or 12 minutes. Yes, they did some amazing spots. You know, the lawn dart into the chair was hellacious. You know, the three Project Champas was hellacious. I just didn't like, number one, I didn't dig the I'm sorry bullshit when Ciampa was handcuffed to the stage. I think that degrades his character, that you've built him up as he's this psychopath that doesn't give a shit, and now he's begging. That doesn't wash for me, I'm sorry. And then the finish, didn't like the finish either. Ciampa walks away with the title. I don't know, I just, Ciampa I think would be perfect for somebody like Paul Heyman.
Oh, that would, yeah. And maybe that might be something they're grooming him for, because I don't, even though he's a champ, I don't see these guys on the roster that much longer. Like, I keep, take Heyman down there. That would even be better, in my opinion.
Yes, I agree. I think that that's something that we're missing. I think we should elevate and move down talent and elevate up talent from NXT. I mean, why not? Like, what it would make things so much more refreshing, and it would allow for new talent to get over if you put some people down. Hey, Zack Ryder, why don't you go down to NXT for a couple of months? Hey,
well, they used to do that.
Right, Anderson and Gallows, can you go down and work with War Raiders for a couple of months? You know, and it would keep things fresh.
That would be a sweet feud, to be honest.
How would you introduce that? Have them come up for one show and attack somebody, and then they go...
Rand, I think you could do it that way. I think you could just have Anderson and Gallows show up on NXT. They take on two new guys, two jobbers, quote unquote, and then that's how the ball gets rolling. Hey, we're here to dominate in NXT because, you know, we're tired of being on the main roster and being overlooked. There you go. There's the storyline.
We're here for competition.
Yeah, we're here to be in competition.
Feed them more.
Yeah, thank you, Ryback.
Roderick Strong is married to Marina, the supernova from Moldova, Shafir.
And she's a full horsewoman, I think.
I don't think so.
Okay.
She has the word super in her name.
Well.
Oh, yeah, she is.
Is she a full horsewoman? I thought she was. I'm sorry. I wasn't sure. Okay. Because the other one is what? Jasmine Duke? Yep. Jasmine Duke?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Anyway. Could there be a four horsemen versus four horsemen Survivor Series matchup?
Maybe.
I think it's too early. I think it's too early. I think it's going to be a Mania match, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I would see that fitting in there because I think they're going to keep Baszler down there for a little bit longer. I mean, it's almost September, you know, I think, it would be rushing it.
John was pointing at his calendar in case you're kind of...
Right, exactly. People, hey, I always do something where people are listening. Well, what the hell, John? So, with that being said, any other notes or anything? I'm going to be honest, I'm very excited to go to All In. This weekend, rolling out to Chicago. Yeah, as you guys are going to Raw. I was contemplating going to Raw, but I think I need a day to recuperate.
Well, I'm selling a kidney tomorrow on the black market so I can pay ringside back for my ticket.
Oh, okay. So, well, is that why you hit me up for money the other day? I got your text.
Okay, that was for something else. But.
Oh, okay. Anyways. so, we'll see how All In is. I think it's going to be a stacked show. I think it's going to be... Really off the
chain. You're going to the tailgate, right?
I'm going to Flip's tailgate, too. That's right.
Some people might not be out there familiar. I don't think ringside's familiar with what's going on with that.
No.
So what's the whole point behind Flip's tailgate?
Yeah, the storyline, from what I understand, is that Flip was no longer allowed to be part of All In. He was originally booked, apparently, and then he was unbooked by Cody Rhodes because Cody doesn't like him. So Flip has decided that he went ahead and just got a permit in the parking lot to have his own tailgate party. So at 5:00, I believe, is when the tailgate kicks off. So you can go hang out outside the Sears Arena or Sears Center. I don't remember what it is. It's Sears Center, I think it is. And hang out with Flip and just have a good time at the party.
There's all kinds of crazy things going on that weekend there, too.
There is. There's so much going on.
It's pretty much like WrestleMania weekend for indies.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It is.
Major props to Cody.
And the Young Bucks, too. Yeah. You know, with that, guys, where can people get in touch with you on the interwebs?
Well, you can contact me at #roughshod, at DJ Joey Blaze.
You
Twitter.
Might not like the crowd you get from #roughshod.
I'm telling you right now, Rand, if I get an angry email from the one man gang, someone's going to get in trouble. I'm going to.
That would be a great name for a band. #roughshod.
Are they going to play at the Al Rosa Villa with Boba Flex?
Oh, my Lord. But yeah, go ahead, tell me how much you hate me, how much you love me, whatever it is. Send me a tweet. Usually it's hate tweets for the corniness. I would like to take this time real quick.
Oh, go ahead.
One of Rand's friends is starting up a wrestling podcast, and I think we should have a roundtable, and I think we should be a part of it.
And who, pray tell, is that individual?
Benjamin?
The Torque.
Oh.
He said he's starting his up.
It's not Wade Boggs.
No, it's not Wade Boggs.
Okay, thank God. That might be violent.
Yeah, we wouldn't want that.
There's no friendship there.
I think we need to put it out there. I think it'd be great. Bring us on. We do our thing. It's a little bit of fun. Whatever. I just want to throw it out there. You should send them some tweets ringside. You know, you talk to them. Let's make it happen, Captain.
Oh, it'll be there.
So,
all right.
He's for those who don't know, he's a local radio personality. He's been a big wrestling fan for years. I've personally listened to him on the radio for years. And he's starting up a wrestling podcast. He's looking at some ideas. And that's one of the things I said, hey, bring us all on. At least for a couple shows, let's get it rolling. Let's have some fun with it. So
yeah, I mean, we can, you know, yeah, we can certainly do that. But you didn't tell anybody where you're at on Twitter.
I just did, as DJ Joey Blaze.
Did you?
Yeah. Where I'm at is in this crappy facility.
Well, okay.
With these animals outside that aren't even the right pigment they're supposed to be. We're supposed to have women dancing in cages. The studio audience is looking at me crazy. I don't know where legal's at. And that damn Canadian bacon again this week.
I couldn't leave out the
Canadian. That's where I'm at.
All right. Well, I'm sorry.
Rushed hostility.
First of all, number one, I missed that you said that because I was thinking that Wade Boggs was going to be the person starting this wrestling podcast, and I was a little bit afraid for our well-being, to be honest with you, Joe.
I don't think that feud's over, but I...
Right. Texas Deathmatch, maybe. I have to book that. Anywho.
Providence Deathmatch. Rhode nice Island Red.
There you go. Red, where can folks find you on the web?
Oh, I'm at that. The Twitter that you people can actually understand is at Rand Dittmar.
All right. There you go. Gentlemen, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
All right. I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. DJ Joey Blaze, Ringside Rant, and yours truly, recapping what went on at SummerSlam just a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, I always enjoy having those guys around, and definitely they'll be back for the Survivor Series in a few months. So, right about this time, I think I need to tell you where you can get in touch with me in case you want to rant or rave about something that was said on this podcast, or maybe you just want to let me know that you enjoy the PVD cast. There's a couple different ways that you can do that. First of all, you can send me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter at PVDMVP. And you can even leave me a message over on the Facebook page of the PVDcast. That being, of course, facebook.com/PVDcast. And I want to let you know all of the great places where you can get this podcast in case you don't already know. Obviously, the online home of yours truly, PVDcast.com, would be a great place to start. But also, the PVDcast is available through iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Spotify, the Libsyn Podcast Player, Pod Paradise, SoundCloud, the Echo Network, a whole ton of places. All you have to do is just search PVDcast, or sometimes you have to tack my name on it, PVDcast, John Orlando, and you will find it in whatever particular podcast apparatus that you are using. Did you like that? Podcast apparatus. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you all for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous and stay independent.